Morning. How's everybody doing out there? This is Jake Barrett. You're listening to the Polka Dot Crockpot on Radio DePaul. 8 o'clock in the morning is when we start. I got here a little late. I had a few issues swiping my ID at the door. That's college campus life for you. Interesting Monday. It's finally in the 80s. Well, 70s now, but it'll get warmer later. You can put some money down on that bet, and I think you'll get a good return. Seems like a double mocha Monday, if you ask me. You need a little something extra to get you going. I don't know if you had as long of a weekend as I had, but you need a little extra boost, extra jolt to get going. So I did. I got Starbucks on the way over. Asked me my name. I said, Phil. Oh, with a P? No, an F. Jeez. If you have to ask, I'm going to give you the inconsistent answer. Just to make you look like a putz. I don't know. Do you guys know anybody out there who spells Phil with an F? Or Steve with a C? That's right. C-T-E-V-E. Steve. You know, it's kind of a... You gotta get that consonant C sound, that resonant consonant. C. Oh, but it was glorious weather all weekend, wasn't it? B-E-A. Beautiful. Saturday night was especially nice. I was at a wedding on Saturday. Actually, it was right off the river, at a bar. It was a nice reception, you know. Buildings, you know, blocking your view everywhere. All you can see is towering concrete structures with glass windows, you know, shining, reflecting the other buildings. Maybe you see a cloud or two. There's a chopper in the sky. Late in Saturday night traffic report for all you cab drivers out there. And this wedding, I have to say, I was invited as the date of a friend. So I went in there. I, you know, didn't know anybody. But she was from the south side, and so was I. So I figured, you know, there's got to be a couple punks I run into, you know? I mean, I know kids from Rita Rice, Carmel, Maris, Steven, you know. Everybody knows somebody from everybody, whether it's, you know, Durkin Park or West Lawn or Beverly or... Heck, even Orland Park. You know, it's dicey areas out there. Interesting. A lot of space out in Orland Park. A lot of space. So, yeah. So I went into this wedding knowing nobody, which, you know, didn't really bother me. It was actually kind of exciting when I really think about it. But this, I don't like to be absolute about anything. I never say never. But I don't think I will ever have a weirder wedding experience than the one I had Saturday night. It was odd. It wasn't necessarily, well, I guess you could say it was bad, but that's not how I view it. It was interesting. I was told something to my face for the second time in my life. And it's one of those phrases that we just stop and, well, I'll tell you the story. How about that, guys? So, We get to the wedding, and this is the first wedding I've actually been to. The ceremony was not held at a church. It was outdoors, right on the river. You know, beautiful day, as I said. So, we get there, and of course, we're walking in just as they're playing, you know, the entrance song. Let me see if I can get some audio for you. Help you guys visualize this one a little better. But we got there late. We were, you know, both a little nervous, so we stopped to relax on the way over, and she thought she timed it right. But hey, you know, sometimes you walk in the middle. At least our phones were on silent. I can tell you that much. As I've twice in my life, I've actually called during a service. You know, as they're up on the altar, everybody's quiet. You know, people standing in their pews and their rows and their chairs, whatever, and all of a sudden, you hear, damn it, Brian. The other time it was actually worse. It was this Dropkick Murphy song. So, you know, like, what's that one? Ship It Up to Boston. So I call him and, you know, do you, Charlotte? Take Glenn, to dun 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 dun. Oh. So, anyways, we walk in and, you know, the Here Comes the Bride starts playing. Let me get that audio for you guys. Sorry, that's Phil Collins still playing. This is just as we're getting there, of course. I mean, what more perfect timing to walk in than when the bride's, you know, marching in. So, of course, we didn't get any seats. We had to stand in the back like a couple of chumps. Nice service, nice ceremony, you know. Stood there for everybody to make their speech and all this and that. So, the service concludes. You know, it's a wedding. Like I said, it was unlike one I've ever been to before. They served appetizers. You know, they had these dynamite sliders with grilled onions on top, barbecue sauce. Ooh, I had three of them. I wasn't necessarily picking out. I was well behaved. You know, I didn't want to make an impression, didn't want to make a splash. Wore the most unassuming wedding outfit you can in a black suit and a blue tie. You know, you can't, I don't know, I feel like you can't wear black on black. That's for funerals or, you know, reserved for the groom. So anyways, yeah, I mean, I was playing it low key all night. And, you know, I had a few conversations with a few different people and, you know, made my trips to the bar and all that. And about three quarters of the way through, you know, I joined a few conga lines throughout the night. I like to dance. I'm pretty good at dancing. So, you know, but I didn't make too much of a splash. I didn't show anybody up out there. I don't even think I did the signature move, not once. That came later than that. But anyway, so about three quarters of the way through, I'm standing at the bar waiting for the bartender to grab me another beer. And this woman in a black dress, blonde hair, I don't know what relation she was to the bride or groom to anybody else there. She looked about 40, you know. Pearl necklace, black dress, walks up to me, hands me $20 and says, "You don't belong here." What do you mean? "You don't belong here." And then she just walked away. What was that? Do that again. I don't believe that just happened. Can we get an instant replay? "You don't belong here." Wow. I mean, something like that. The context is key, guys. That's why I had to set this up for you. The context is key. Why would she tell me I do not belong? I'm not sticking out like a sore thumb or anything. Not even like a middle finger. I couldn't believe it. Now, there's a few explanations I instantly ran through in my mind. Just thinking, you know, yeah, what could I have done? Did I offend somebody? I didn't drop any bottles on the dance floor, which was the recommendation of one of my experienced wedding going friends. He says, somebody always breaks a glass on the dance floor, and if that's you, hey, it's you. But no, there was no scenes like that. I didn't piss anybody off, I don't think. Why didn't I belong? I mean, granted, yes, I didn't really know anybody there, but I was invited as the guest of a friend of the groom's, and the maid of honors. Yeah. Well, one thing I kind of failed to consider was she might have been the problem. But who would? I asked my date that I was there with. Said, who was that lady? Do you know who she is? Why would she say that? And she says, "Oh, I don't know. I have no idea. That's very rude." And I'm like, "Yeah, you're telling me it was rude." You know, I got it right straight to the face. So, you know, I spent the rest of the night trying to figure it out. Why? Who doesn't want me there? Of course I wasn't going to leave. I staunchly stood there and said, no, I did. Who are you to tell me that my place is not here? It may not be, but seriously, I'd like to hear that from one of the higher-ups. You know, security guards are cool with me. Yeah, I talked to him. Even, you know, I didn't do it. Okay, the one thing out of the ordinary I did was there was this drifter kind of strolling through this paved area between these two buildings where the service was held. There was a bar outside, so. This was during, you know, appetizers, people just sitting around, and this fella sat down on a bench, and he heard a song play. I can't remember what song it was. It was a beautiful song, you know, like, yeah. You are the sunshine of my life or something like that. It was just a perfect song for that kind of atmosphere. You know, 75 degrees out, everybody in suit and tie looks nice. We're at a wedding, good feelings, good vibes everywhere. This guy sits down on a bench, and he starts crying. Like, what is he crying about? I mean, they looked like sweet tears, you know. I mean, I shouldn't say sweet. They looked concentrated tears, not, you know, not like this guy was crazy. He seemed like one of the better drifting gentlemen in the city. I went over and I asked him, you know, hey, why are you crying? Of course, he said the song, but I don't know. He made up a backstory that may or may not have been believable, that he used to sing with a few different groups. I don't know. In his mind, if he did, then God bless him. He's one heck of a talent. But if he didn't, hey, at least he's making life interesting. So, yeah, I conversed with him for, you know, 2 minutes and went back inside. And I don't know if anybody saw that or was wondering about that. You know, That when I think about it, that could set somebody off. Like, why is he talking to that bum? Is that his uncle? No, it was, God, what was his name? Gerald. See, I can't even remember his name. Anyways, I was just puzzled by, you know, have you ever been told that you physically don't belong somewhere? It's not, I don't know. It's a really hard feeling to describe. Whether she was right or not, like I said, I stuck around, and the night ended about 20 minutes after that. I decided to go, and the sneaking suspicion I have in my mind, now don't tell anybody this, but she could have been hired to do that, but who would pay her? I mean, she could be, you know, just the muscle that, you know, you need anything done, you tell Aunt Susie, she'll go up to him and say it. She has no filter. She will get in whoever's face you need, and she will tell him off. So that could have been me. I don't know. Her target, somebody slipped her a 20 to give to me. And oh, yeah, that was the oddest thing, too. She gave me a $20 bill, and I'm like, pocket. Thanks for stopping by. So, but there is one motive, and I didn't consider this until maybe this morning, but... how odd it was that the girl I was at the wedding with as her date, we were in the preliminary stages of seeing each other. We've known each other for about a month, and she invited me to this wedding. She needed a date. She knew I was a good dancer, so that's why she invited me. But as I said 20 minutes earlier, the whole night debacled, and we kind of decided to go our separate ways. So maybe she, but that came after the incident. So I'm thinking maybe she paid Aunt Susie to say something, because she claimed not to know the woman and claimed after I left to tell her that how rude her comment was. So I don't know. It could be fiction. It could be fact. I don't think I have time to investigate it as properly as I should, you know, go through the correct channels and really get to the bottom of this. But I don't like being on the bottom. I like being on top. How about you guys? I mean, it was a good wedding otherwise. I heard a Bob Seger song, and that it was during dinner. And it's not one you hear very often. It's not old-time rock and roll. It's not Night Moves. It's not even Hollywood Nights. It was one about Michigan. Of course, Bob Seger's from Michigan. It's a beautiful country up there. But... driving on his motorcycle through a few roads in Michigan and just wondering where he should go, where the road will take him. And I think Bob, though he doesn't know, he's not too worried about it.
took a look down a westbound road. Right away I made my choice. Headed out to my big two-wheeler. I was tired of my own voice. Took a beat on the northern plains and just rolled that power on. City, stopped in a bar to have a brew. Met a girl, we had a few drinks, and I told her what I decided to do. She looked out the window a long, long moment, then she looked into my eyes. She didn't have to say a thing. Said a word, we just walked out and got on that bank. And we rolled. And we rolled clean out of sight. Staring out at the great divide. I could go east, I could go west. It was all up to me to decide. Just then I saw a young hawk flying, and my soul began to rise. And pretty soon
always great to hear some Bob Seger in the morning, isn't it? Especially on Monday. M-O-N-D-A-Y, that's the way they spell it. It is just a slow-moving Monday, I think. Summer's practically here. Most of us who are in school or out of school, or just there. I got 2 weeks left, then I matriculate. You guys ever matriculate? It's tough. It's not easy. Matriculate. It's, I believe that's a... I don't know, Hank Stramface, old coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. I may or may not be right about that, but I'm sure if I'm wrong, I'll get a call from my dad telling me, hey, Jacob, you got it wrong. I'm like, ah, thanks for the lesson. I'd rather get the correct quote, even if it takes two tries. You've been misquoting me for years now. All right, Maverick. A little sad news last night. The Hawks lost. I don't know if you guys were watching. I was watching at work, and that last goal, I got home for the end of the game, but they scored it, and I said to myself, no, that didn't, no. You guys taped that before the game to, you know, make a teaser, a trailer. That's not the real finish. We're not done. There's more hockey left to be played. Nice joke, NBC. Real clever, you know. I mean, it's really revolutionary for a sports program to do that, to stage action like that, like the Kings winning. Because the Hawks won, didn't they? They didn't? Sigh, moan, groan. It was a fun ride. It always is with hockey. Playoff hockey is exciting stuff. There's a lot of it. It's not, you know, one and done like the football playoffs, but that's why there's a band at football games. It's a bigger hubbub. It's a bigger hullabaloo. It's a parade. It's a bonanza. Hockey games, they get up there, they show up, they play. You know, there's a little organ music spliced in between it. Oh, God. I'm watching Hawks highlights right now. I'm sorry. I had to pull it up. It was a crushing blow, but, you know, at least we can all agree that we can root for the Rangers now and, you know, stick it to L.A. Except that I find it, I don't know. I don't like rooting for New York ever. Being from Chicago, it's not something you like doing often. Unless they have a really good team. A team you like. A team you can get behind. You know, the Yankees, I could never really see myself rooting for the Yankees. They're my second least favorite team other than the I won't even say it. Well, that's all right. Time marches on. Life still goes on without hockey. It's a less interesting life, but nonetheless, life still goes on without hockey. That's right, we got baseball season to look forward to. That's always fun. In the sun, too. I'm going to take you guys into another tune here I've been thinking about playing. It's about the summertime. Sylvester Sly is the man's name. He had a whole family backing him up. They called themselves the Stone Family. Sylvester Sly and... How do you spell Sylvester? S-Y-L-V-E-S-T-E-R. That's the way we spell Sylvester. Sylvester Sly and the Family Stone with Hot Fun in Summertime. Coming up in just a sec. Sorry, guys. Got into the building again a little late today. I got to get this figured out. I got 2 weeks to graduate. I'm not going to get a new ID. Let's be honest with ourselves. Hot Fun. It's one of those songs, you know, it's just a summer soundtrack staple. It's on. If it's not, it ought to be on every summer playlist. You know what I mean? It just, you know, it's like going up the country on a road trip. That old Canned Heat song. You gotta hear it, especially if the skies are blue and the green hills are rolling. Going up the country. Well, here's Sylvester Sly, backed up by his Family Stone. Ooh, yeah, that one's got to feel good with the sun at your back. Sitting on the beach. Hot fun in the summertime. As I said, that was Sylvester Sly. Can't wait for all that summer food, too. That watermelon, grilling out, ribs, burgers and dogs, pierogies. Pierogies aren't a summer food. You can eat pierogies all year round. I know. I want you guys to guess. How many pierogies do you think I've ever eaten in one sitting? Take a wild guess. Now, I'll go ahead and say that, give you a little hint here. I was part of a amateur eating event at the Southside Polish Festival a couple years back, in which I won the bronze medal, came in third in the pierogi eating contest. They were all potato pierogies, and they were delicious, even though I did. So how many do you think I could eat in 5 minutes? They gave us 5 minutes. You know, I was going up against the defending champion, Big John Pavinsky. Oh, this guy. 26 pierogies. That's how much I ate. You know, that it's not bad. I actually think it's pretty good. You know, I was sitting there, and the chump next to me, this guy, I think it was Eduardo Ramirez was his name. I don't know how he got signed up for the contest, because there was a few of us who were, taking it quite seriously. You know, like I said, I came in third with 26. You gotta, I just gave you the answer. I came in third with 26, and the guy who won, Big John, ate 39. 39 pierogies in 5 minutes. He was like 6'6", had a gut the size of a kettle oven. I mean, it's what went in there, you know, met the fires and then came out burnt to a crisp. This guy just had an iron stomach. But, you know, he could probably go pro if he wanted to. He could sign with one of the major labels. And, you know, they'd start him off in the minor league circuit. You know, he'd do the Kansas City Open, the Santa Fe Chili Competition, Crawdad Fest. He could hit the second tier circuit, the Champions League, if you will, for you soccer fans. He could do it. You got to train. You got to do it every day. You gotta do it like this guy, my friend Timmy. Here's a doctor's visit from. Got some consultation about some of his eating habits.
So Timmy, I got your blood work in, and I have a couple of questions.
Okay.
Just about how many hot dogs do you eat a day?
How many hot dogs?
Yeah.
Geez. I don't know. I mean, you know, some days I could eat a couple, and some days I don't eat any.
Okay. Let's just say for an average, take your whole week and try to figure out what your daily amount would be.
I have no idea.
Just try.
Okay. A whole week? Average per day would be something like, I don't know, seven?
Seven hot dogs?
Seven, yeah.
A day.
Is that high?
It's a little high.
Is that bad?
Well, not good.
I mean, I'm just ballparking here, you know?
Sure. Timmy, I want to try something if you don't mind. Walk me through one of your days.
Walk you through my day?
Yeah. Just take me through a day in the life of Timmy.
Okay. Well, I wake up and I take a shower. And I, get ready for work. And I go downstairs and I have a bagel and something for breakfast.
And something?
A hot dog.
Hot dog. Okay.
I mean, I do usually eat a hot dog there.
Okay.
Then I take the train to work.
Well, slow down. Does anything happen on the way to work?
Oh, I almost forgot. On the way to the subway, there's a hot dog stand, so I usually have one or two. Yeah.
Two hot dogs?
Yeah. I usually have two hot dogs before work.
So that's three hot dogs before work.
Right, yeah, if you're going to count the one at home. I mean, this is all just breakfast, you know?
No, I understand. I get it.
Then I just go through my whole day of work.
Okay, hold up. Walk me through your work day. What happens at lunch?
Oh, lunch. Well, I mean, some days I just blow through lunch, you know, because how busy I am and all.
Really?
Well, pretty sure I did that once.
Okay. Well, on the days that you're not blowing through lunch, what do you have?
Well, on those days, sometimes it could just be a salad.
Could it?
Yeah, well, but it's usually...
It's usually hot dogs.
Yeah, it's usually hot dogs.
How many hot dogs?
I don't know. Anywhere between one and four?
Four hot dogs.
Yeah, it's probably safe.
Well, I hope there's no more hot dogs in the day, because we're up to seven now.
Yeah, on second thought, that number might be a little low.
Man, that guy loves hot dogs. I mean, I could eat like maybe three or four in one sitting, you know, if they're prepared correctly, you know, the Chicago way with pickle, lily, tomatoes, onions, mustard, celery, salt, maybe a sport pepper. It's not essential to me, the sport pepper. You know, it's fancying it up. There's a lot going on in a Chicago hot dog, and you can do a lot of things while eating one. You can multitask. Got a guest coming up for you guys, a friend of mine named Tasha. She's a student at DePaul. She was just doing some homework this morning, decided to tune in and see what's going on. Hey, what's up, Tosh?
Hello.
What's going on?
Well, I'm sitting at my desk. I'm trying to do my homework.
What are you reading?
I'm reading, it's called Uses of Erotics by Audre Lorde. It's a feminist literature piece.
Sounds thrilling.
Oh, it's very interesting, actually. You'd be surprised.
Oh, so how's it going? Are you able to, are you multitasking right now? You're listening in and doing homework?
Well, no. I mean, I'm listening. I'm listening, and then I'm separately doing homework, but when I stop to do homework, it means I'm no longer giving my full attention to your lovely radio show. But when I'm listening, it means I'm not doing my homework that's due in an hour.
So you got to do one thing or the other.
Essentially, which is pretty disappointing. I wish I could rely more on my ability to multitask.
Well,
although there's a debate on whether or not multitasking is possible.
What do you mean?
I mean, some people say that it's just not possible.
Well,
and
just,
that you can never truly multitask.
Just this morning, I was walking down the street and chewing gum at the same time.
No way. You're incredible.
Oh, stop.
Yeah, well, how are you doing this morning?
You should see me juggle. Well, I'm okay.
Yeah,
tired.
Yeah.
It's a double mocha Monday, as I said earlier. You got to get two cups
of
coffee.
Double mocha Monday?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
That sounds like a good advertising campaign.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've written letters to Dunkin' Donuts. They're not down with some of my advertising concepts. I drew them a whole new design logo. It's actually pretty cool with flames and lightning bolts and, you know, a new age for Dunkin' Donuts. But
that sounds really edgy.
That's what they said. Like, guys, you got to be on the forefront of this thing.
yeah. Bringing Dunkin' into the future. One time I tried the Dunkin' Mochas, and I was really, really disappointed.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I did, too. Mocha just rhymes with, or no, it's alliterative with Monday, so that's why I pick it. I'm not really a fan
of it. Oh, okay. I understand.
I could do without the mocha. Maybe if there was another M word.
Mocha. Oh yeah, no. I'm sure there's a great one. Something even more relevant. Mustard Mondays. How about that?
They don't sell hot dogs, do they?
I don't know. I mean, somebody might hope so. Anyways, this is actually getting up to listen to your radio show is probably the only thing that got me out of bed to do my homework, which is funny because it's keeping me from doing my homework currently, but it got me up to do it in the first place. So I guess for that, I have to say thank you.
Yeah, it sounds like a win-lose.
Yeah. Yeah, it does sound like a win-lose. It's most things.
They can't all be win-win.
Yeah, no, like just like your wedding story, you know, win-lose. You won, you got $20, you got to dance, you lost, you got a rude comment.
Right.
Among other things.
You can't win them all, but you should win some.
Yeah, you should win some.
Nobody's that bad. Nobody deserves that kind of...
I don't think that I win things very often, but that's actually a good thing, because then when I do win things, it's like a really, really big deal.
Oh, you rejoice.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about the last time I won something, and I mean, I just...
are you talking like ski ball, or... pinball? I don't know.
Oh, what game were you playing? Actually, I remember the last time. At my last in-service for work, we played Mafia. And at the end, there was... Have you ever played Mafia?
It sounds like a cops and robbers type game.
No,
capture the flag.
No. It's not a physical, like a running game. It's like a sit around a table and figure out who the murderer game.
Oh, okay.
So there's four murderers, and I was one of them. And the point of the game is to find the four murderers. And either the mafia wins or the townspeople win. And in the end, I was the last mafia member. And I won.
King of the hill.
Yeah. I killed a lot of people.
Do you feel bad about it? Do you feel any remorse?
I do not, because I won. So, you know, you got to do what you got to do to win.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah, winning. Especially, coming out on top.
Especially in this country. You got to know that.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, that's interesting. That's actually what I'm reading about right now.
How women have to start winning?
No, it's not one of those. It's not one of those feminist readings. Girl power. No, it's about the separation between the spiritual and the political, or the spiritual and the erotic. Pretty interesting.
That sounds pretty racy.
It sounds pretty what?
Sounds pretty racy. I'd ask you more about it, but this is a family show.
Oh, yeah. Racy. Well, no, I mean, it's not so racy in the concept of, you know, spiritual versus political. There's not very much, like, attention giving to our spiritual and emotional well-being in political matters.
I see.
Yes.
Yes. Very
absolutely. Beautiful day today. Are you going to get outside?
Oh, that's the goal. Yeah, I'm going to get outside. I wish I could go to the beach. That sounds great. Are you going to go outside?
Yeah, I'm going to hop on my longboard and, you know, all that stuff.
Oh, I didn't know you were a longboarder.
I don't.
Oh, I'm trying to sound cool and hip for the viewers, or for the listeners.
That's the idea, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you could be a longboarder. You could learn. It's not too late.
Well, I've longboarded a few times. My roommate used to have a longboard. And, you know, I would ride it sometimes. And one night, I was real hungry. I was also tired from the night out. And, you know, I wanted to get some food. And it was like two blocks away, but I decided to longboard instead. And on the return trip, I fell off the longboard. It went flying down the street, underneath some car. And, you know, I was just so tired and scraped up, I went home without looking for it. Tried to find it the next day, and it was gone.
Wow, just a whole number of things went wrong there.
Smushed my burgers, too.
Smushed your burgers? Oh, well, that's... I think that could be described as a lose-lose situation. although it is making a pretty decent story, so, in that respect. You know?
Well, the phone call was... Hey, Bill, you remember that longboard? Yeah. How much was that? I don't know. I got it custom made when I was out in Colorado. So, did you now? That's pretty cool. Do you remember the name of the shop by chance? No, it was long ago. I don't know. I see. Okay. How much you figure a board like that would cost? Do you remember the design? I'd like to get you a replica, partially because I lost the original.
Nice way to bring it in.
Oh, he took it quite well. He took it in stride.
Was it really a custom made longboard?
Yeah, it was from this you know hippie shop out in Colorado.
Yeah, actually, you know, my grandfather made it for me right before he passed away, and probably my most favorite possession.
Oh.
Nothing could replace that.
Poppy's longboard.
There's definitely a screenplay in there somewhere. like a surf boy drama.
So many directions you could go with it.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, it's a longboard.
The quest for the forgotten longboard. Only two were ever made. It was when he was just starting his surf shop. And he had this partner, Grimes. It was Grimes and Rafferty.
Grimes.
And yeah, you know, they went into business together. Right, now I feel like we're just parroting what's that one, Lords of Dogtown. That was a good flick.
Oh, I haven't seen that. Oh, I've heard that movie is kinda screwed up. Is that true?
Well, I mean, Heath Ledger's a part of it, so.
Oh well, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Have you seen Dogtoon? That's a really oof. I don't know if I'd recommend it. It's really, really strange.
What is?
This movie called Dogtooth. Have you heard of Dogtooth?
No.
I wouldn't recommend it to you, but I actually don't think that I would ever want to put a person through watching it.
That sounds.
But it's on Netflix. If anybody's interested.
Oh, that's not like the movie I've seen called Teeth, is it?
Oh.
You seen that one?
Wow, I've seen Teeth.
Oh,
yeah.
I'd never want to see that movie again. Or even hear it. Yeah.
No. Yeah, absolutely not.
Yeah, that's probably scarier than, you know.
I actually watched that, but I watched that in, like, probably the best way that you can watch. In, like, eighth grade after, like, the homecoming dance.
Oh!
I know. With, like, my four, you know, like, my eighth grade girlfriends. And they're like, guys, like, I've got an idea. It's 3 a.m. Let's watch this really horrible movie. You know, like eighth grade girls do.
Oh.
And wow, I think I definitely reached another level of puberty after that one.
Well,
maybe, I don't know. I don't even know what that means.
For those of you out there, we're talking about the movie called Teeth. Now, I don't recommend you even look it up. Just know that that's what the movie is called, and you don't want to see it.
Yeah. Yeah, this is like a banned books list. We're like telling you the movies that you don't want to watch.
Don't
you
even
no interest in watching.
I mean, just.
No. Oh, no, Jake, I'm getting another call because it's almost 9 o'clock, and that means I have to go to class. I've not done my homework. Thank you very much.
All righty. Well, before you go, I just want to ask you, I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 10. What is it?
4.
Nope, it was 2.
Oh, God damn it.
All right. Well, good luck with the rest of the day, though. Thanks for coming on, Tosh.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Jake. Have a great day, and have a great rest of your show.
All righty. Take care.
Okay, bye.
Ah, it was a nice conversation with Tasha. She's got an interesting perspective. Of course, you're listening to the Polka Dot Crockpot. I am Jake Berent. We're shuffling through topics this morning. I'm currently shuffling through my records, wondering what I'm going to play next. Can't do Buddy. I already did Buddy. I'll do a little bit of... Put on a little Rupert Holmes. How about that fella? Yep, no. Yeah, no. Let's get the vinyl spinning at 33 and a third. You guys know Rupert Holmes, don't you? He was a singer, songwriter. Most famous for, this is the title track of his, no, not the title track. It's the opening track of his 1980-something album. 79, I should say. I'm sorry, this is older than that. 1979 album, Partners in Crime. This is Rolling Stones, Gene Fightin' Man, G7. No, it's not. It's Escape by Rupert Holmes.
I was tired of my lady. We'd been together too long. Like a worn out recording, a favorite song. So while she lay there sleeping, I read the paper in bed. And in the personal columns, there was this letter I read. If you like piña coladas and getting caught in the rain, if you're not into yoga, if you have half a brain, if you'd like making love at midnight in the dunes on the Cape, then I'm the love that you've looked for. Write to me and escape.
Blue Demons don't have many more chances left to try and match or eclipse.
I know that sounds kind of mean, but me and my old lady have fallen into the same old routine. So I wrote to the paper, took out a personal ad, and though I'm nobody's poet, I thought it wasn't half bad. Yes, I like piña colada. She walked in the place. I knew a smile in an instant. I knew the curve of her face. It was my own lovely lady. And she said, oh, it's you. Then we laughed for a moment. And I said, I never knew that you like piña coladas and getting caught in the rain. Taste of champagne. If you like making love at midnight in the dunes on the Cape, you're the lady I've looked for. Come with me and escape.
Come with me and escape. I like piña colada. That's actually my favorite Slurpee flavor. Piña colada. Oh, it's a nice city, piña colada, in Venezuela. I don't know if you guys have ever been there. I sure haven't. I'm not even sure it exists. But the way Rupert sings, I think it's a real place. The dunes of a Cape. Yeah, that's where it is. Oh, brother. So yeah, I told you about that wedding. Like, I got right back up on my feet afterwards, though. Of course I did. Went to a place with dueling pianos. You ever guys see every one of those shows? Was that a sentence? Did you guys ever see one of those shows? Well, there's so many good piano songs, and then, you know, not just the ones by Billy Joel and Elton John. There's a whole bunch of fellas. And you can adapt much any song. to the piano. I mean, the guys at the Ivories were doing so upon my request. Got him to play some Bob Seger. Dun, 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 dun. Of course, what else would I request? Come on, you had to know that was coming. Either that or Werewolves of London. That's a great piano song. Let's see what we got here. Yeah, we're in the 9 o'clock hour. It's Monday morning again. Summer's here. Hockey's done. Baseball's starting. I'm going to play a little more vinyl for you guys. That's what I'm feeling this morning. Oh, Rupert, Rupert, Rupert. It's got to be tough growing up with the name Rupert. You know, it's not uncommon, but it's not, you know, Paul, Phil, Tony, Rick, Jeff, Tom, Phil. Philadelphia. That's the name. You guys like the Little River Band? I do. You know the Little River Band, don't you? They got a bunch of good tracks, you know. They're easy listening. Adult contemporary, I think, is the way it is termed. There's a couple guys that like to groove around and sing on street corners, you know? Like you see in Rocky. That doesn't happen in Philadelphia. Nobody's got that much soul. Philly soul. My eye. Oh, my foot. All right. We're going to go with Lady by the Little River Band.
Apart. You're not like the rest. You're there when I need you. You're there when I need. I'm gonna need you. So lady, let me take a look at you now. You're there.
Here we go, LRB, Little River Band, Lady. I'm starting to hit the wall a little early on this Monday, guys. I don't know about you. I need that second half of Mocha. I didn't ask for this 8 a.m. time slot, but it's all that was open. I had to take it. It's not a bad slot. You know, you catch a lot of listeners Monday morning. They're getting up there. Seeing what's going on for the week. I'm not going to tell you. I'm just going to talk for about 2 hours. That's the way she goes. I'm a morning person. I don't know if you are. Coffee always helps. I could do mornings. I prefer not to. Most of the time. I'd rather stay up, you know. I have an interesting relationship with sleep. We don't always get along. There's nobody really to blame. It's just the way it is. You know, it's what Bruce Hornsby says. Dun-dun, 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 it's just the way it is. That's one of those songs I think that everybody loves. That's just the way it is. You can't get mad at it, whether it's the Bruce Hornsby version or I know some character tried to do a rip-off spot on that. But, you know... A song you can get behind. And speaking of getting behind, there was this clip. I'm sure some of you have seen it. It's about this rabid, just guy who's a Bills fan, but he's just rabid. He's intense. He's being interviewed like by the local news after the Bills won. And this guy just goes off. Here's a little intro from Jay Johnstone and then the interview. I'll play the audio for you.
Before the Dallas Cowboys defeated the Buffalo Bills in Super Bowl 27, we talked with a few fans in each of the cities. And that's when we met up with this enthusiastic fella. Wait till you hear what this guy says, pal.
Goes for the Dallas Cowboys, and we're the Bills. And I can't wait to rub this in his face. He's been telling us this for over 10 years about Dallas. No, it's the Bills. Buffalo all the way this time. Three times. The third time is a charm. Dallas is going down, Gary. Only Buffalo is going to win it. Dallas is going down.
Finally in New York, the Jets against the Bills. Marty Lyons gives it to Jim Kelly after the incomplete pass. A fight breaks out, and after everything clears, the referee gives the official call. And folks, it was the ruling of the day.
The personal foul.
We'll pick this up.
On number 99 of the defense, after he tackled the quarterback, he's giving them business down there. That's a 15-yard penalty.
How about that? Giving him the business. 15 yards for giving it to him. The Jets won this football game 14-13. Marty Lyons had a little cut over the right eye.
Yeah, personal foul on white 99. He's giving him the business. Oh, that's a special penalty. That's a penalty we referees keep in our back pockets. You start giving me the business, you watch out, fella. You know? That's all you got to say. And that ref who said it is a a real gem. You know, he's one of those, you know, like old boxing referee type referees. You know, they'll talk to players and, you know, pal around with them, crack jokes. He knows what he's doing. He's on top of his stuff. Reminds me of that guy Norm Schachter. He was an old NFL referee. He was talking with Dick Butkus one time. Had a lot of Butkus's games. And Butkus, you know, started yelling at him and points his finger at him. So Norm Schachter, the referee, says to him, "Butkus, don't wave your finger at me. I'll bite your head off." Butkus cocks back his head and goes, "Oh, yeah? Well, then you'll have more brains in your stomach than you do in your head." Gotcha. Yeah, Butkus had a brain. He's not a dumb guy. Hell, he could have gone to Notre Dame, but he declined. He had his high school sweetheart, and Notre Dame didn't have dormitories for married couples, but University of Illinois did. So that's where he went. Led him to a Rose Bowl, too. That's not easy to do, especially at the University of Illinois football program. They've been ups and downs, but they're no Michigan, Ohio State, Wisconsin. Not a perennial doormat either, but times are tough in Illini country. Times are tough. The state of Illinois, the Chicago basketball in general is on tough times, you know. Our leading star, we don't even know when he's going to be back. Everybody else leaves. It's tough to recruit a kid to the city school, to the city he's from. You know, most kids, when they go to college, are looking forward to getting away for a few years. It's hard to get a kid to stay and, you know, focus and drive his energy while still being, you know, so close to home. I mean, that's why people go away to college, isn't it? For vacation? Yeah. Oh, it's the trouble DePaul's been having. Loyola, a bunch of other schools, you know, urban schools. And a lot of these schools, they play in off-campus arenas. And it's tough to get the solid fan base there. Really bolster the team, get behind them, you know. Oh, well, we still celebrate. Celebrate graduation in 2 weeks. I don't know if I'm going to go. It's graduate school, so it's not, you know, it's no monumentous occasion. They're just making me a master. It's not like I'm the first person in my family to graduate with a secondary degree. But it's pretty big, you know. It'll hang in my office someday. Wooden frame with various knickknacks, hot glued to it. You know, I can picture it now. Let's see here. We're going to go to another tune. Yeah, why don't we play fellow I was telling you earlier, Bruce Hornsby.
Just the way it is. things have never changed. That's just the way it is. Oh, but don't you believe them?
Bruce Hornsby is. He's got that piano touch I was telling you about, you know? Just a gentle rhythm of the fingers on the keys. Maybe that's the one I should request next time I get back to that piano joint. Anyways. I was on my phone yesterday and realized I had a lot of space that was being taken up by useless apps. You know, apps you don't even use. You know, there's some that are essential. You know, just the staples, your Facebook, your Twitter, your transit stopper, you know when the buses are coming, the Weather Channel, the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, Shazam, Dropbox, IMDb, the Holy Bible, WordPress, Harlem Globetrotters Trick Shots Game, Lyft, 94.7, WLSFM, Hearts, emoticons, you know, all the usuals. Then there's one I recently just got back on my phone. I deleted it for a while. I took a break. It's a bit of a distraction, but it is fun. You guys heard of Tinder? Ah, of course you have. Na 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 Tinder. Na 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 Tinder. Tinder. Let's get the real thing, huh? Come on, Reggie. Cue it up. Oops. Nope, that's not it. See, the production crew I work with is just... they're not the best. I mean, they're the only guys I got. I just gotta make do. wipe left. Tinder! The Tinder theme song. Those of you who don't know, Tinder's it's an app on your phone. Basically what it is you, you know, link it up to your Facebook or whatever. You pick 5 pictures of yourself, then you can give yourself a caption, and basically what you do is you go on there and it'll show you a picture of a mate, a potential mate, a match is what they call it. And you see a match, and if you like her, you swipe left. Or is it right? I don't know. I confuse it so much. If you like her, you swipe right, and if not, you swipe left. You know, there's no obligations to anybody, but if you do, two people happen to both swipe right when they viewed each other's profile, then, hey, it's a match. You're free to move forward. You've cleared the first hurdle. You know, that's kind of what it feels like. Is okay, appearance, eye test. Okay, interesting. Some people have some interesting quotes, too. You have about, like, I'd say probably 10 to 15 lines to work with. You know, there's the usuals. My family is the most important thing in my life. I'm a crazy girl. I'm a sassy badge. I like to travel. Craft beer is my life. You know, the generic things that people like to say about themselves. Now, of course, this is biased because I'm a male viewing a nothing but female, so I don't know what I should get somebody on here to talk about the cliches that guys on Tinder have, you know, what they say to each other, because I don't know what another guy's Tinder profile looks like. I don't know what strategy he's using. How's he trying to hook him? If you got 3 shirtless photos on there, maybe you're trying a little too hard, pal. You know, ease it back, tone down a little. You're not a bodybuilder. But to celebrate my re-downloading of Tinder yesterday, I did 50 blind swipes right. That's right. You just click yes for the first 50 and you see what happens. It's interesting. You know, it's like a social experiment, Tinder is. I mean, yes, some people use it for different things, and it is what you use it for, whatever you're interested in, whatever you're looking for. If it's all just a conversation, that's it. If it's something more, well, God bless you. There's some things you notice, you know, in general, like, you know, you've swiped through these profiles of these women, and you can usually tell if a girl has ever been on an elephant in her life, it will show up in her Tinder profile. I swear about 1 in every 14 Tinder profiles, I see a girl with a picture on an elephant, whether it was Linkin Park Zoo, India, China, Malaysia, I don't know, but girls on Tinder love pictures with elephants. It's a little weird. Not weird, I mean,